I speak this morning in God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, here we all are. We've arrived together at the beginning of Lent. I don't know how it is for you, but for me, Lent never just rolls around. For me, Lent jumps out and grabs me. I get so caught up in all the highly important, busy things I'm doing because, of course, I am a highly important and busy person. Then Ash Wednesday comes around, Lent grabs me by the lapel, stares into my eyeballs and says, "Not so fast, little man. Time to take a break. Time to take a break from your self-appointed position as general manager of the universe. Time to slow down and remember. Time to slow down and remember who's who around here. Who's in charge and who's not. Whose agenda really matters and whose doesn't." That's what this season is for. Grasp it with both hands. This time is a gift. Use the gift well. That's what this season is for. To slow down, to remember some basic truths, and to recalibrate our lives around those truths. What are those truths? Well, there are three really big ones we need to start with, and we see them in today's Bible readings. Three truths. One, the world and humanity are good. Two, the world and humanity are broken. Three, the world and humanity are being restored. Three truths to walk around with this Lent. We begin together in the creation story, a good way to start. And even us Episcopalians, even we know this bit well enough to remember what comes before the part that we read. God has been busy. God's been busy creating light, sea and land, sun and moon, stars, fruit trees, fish, birds, bugs, snakes, cattle, and people. And it's all really, really good. Now, take a second to get into God's head a little bit here. Think about something that you have made. Maybe a vintage car that you restored. Or maybe a garden that you planted. Maybe a painting that you painted. Think about how you felt about that object when it was there in front of you, when there was nothing before. Think about that. Feel that feeling. Now, multiply that feeling by a factor of, let's say, a bazillion. And now you have just a little bit of a sliver of a glimpse of how God feels about you and about His world. The world and us and humanity is good. But something tragic happens, we know. We read a bit about it just now. We humans are made for love. Love requires free will, and free will can be misused, and that's what goes on. We can, so we think we should. We are children, but we convince ourselves that we're in charge. And don't you dare blame it all on Eve. Don't go there. Not even Paul blames it all on Eve. And Paul's no feminist. There's plenty of blame to go around for everyone. And don't dare, as some of my sophisticated friends do, don't dare write this off as a cute, primitive myth. Was there really a snake with vocal cords? Oh, heck, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you there wasn't, but I do know this. I do know that we all have this deep, deep yearning inside of us to walk closely with God. A deep yearning inside of us to have our will lined up with God's will, to work with God and not against God. And I believe we have a kind of an echo way down deep inside, a kind of a memory of when that was the case. A memory of a time when being with God was like bumping into a friend on an evening stroll in a garden. We all have that inside us, that memory, that echo, that yearning desire. And we all know that's not the way it is anymore. We all know how hard it is for us flawed humans to discern God's will even when we're trying our hardest to be our goodest. That's the second truth. We're broken. And we're the source of our own brokenness. And we can't fix it ourselves. But there's one more truth. And it's the important one, because the gospel won't let us stay there stewing in our own poisonous juices. The gospel won't let us stay in that place. St. Paul won't let us stop there, because there's one more, even more important truth than those first two ones, and it's that one that I want you to really remember. Good, yes. Broken, yes. But our humanity and our world is being restored. And it's happening around us. Paul teaches it, and out in the desert with Jesus, we can see it happening right in front of our eyes. Jesus, in that story that Milton just read, look at what Jesus does. Jesus takes on our humanity with all its weakness. He takes on our humanity, but where we failed, he succeeds. Where we put God off to one side and put ourselves in the center, Jesus puts things back where they belong. Every single one of those temptations out in the wilderness was a temptation for Jesus to put himself in the Father's place. And he says to every one of them, no. Every one of those temptations was a temptation to do what we chose to do in the garden, which is put ourselves in the middle, put ourselves in charge. Where we blew it, he succeeds. We sang a hymn on the way in. It's a hymn to a poem written by Marty Luther. Martin wrote us this hymn to tell us what's going on here. Did we in our own strength confined, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He will win the battle. Jesus wins. That's Christian faith in two words. Jesus wins. We see it. We see a glimpse of it out there in the desert. Jesus wins. Humanity, God's world that He loves, it's being restored. Now, I want you to grasp that with both hands, and to do that, I want to give you a Lenten exercise. Now, I know y'all are Episcopalians, and I'm an Episcopal priest, and I can't order you to do a darn thing. But I can give you a priestly admonition. It says so in the second letter to Timothy, and that's what I'm going to do right now. It's so easy to see the brokenness. It's so easy to see the brokenness, especially in the crazy, wacky world out there that we live in. It's so easy to see the brokenness, especially in people we don't like very much. Here's my admonition. This Lent, take on the discipline of seeing not just the brokenness, but the restoration. Not just the rebellion, but the redemption. Not just the death, but the life. Not just the defeat, but the victory. I know that's really hard, so I'm going to give you some tips. Where do we look? One place to look is in the lives of the saints. Saints are people like us, but people like us who show us little flashes, little glimpses of our restored humanity. It's really important to be friends with a few saints. Try this. Get a copy of a book published by the Episcopal Church called A Great Cloud of Witnesses. Everybody at the 8 o'clock service asked me to repeat that, so I'm going to say it again. A Great Cloud of Witnesses. You might even want to write that down. If you have trouble finding one, I'll get you one. If you can't afford one, the church will buy you one. It tells us about the people we honor in our church calendar day by day, giving us scripture readings to help understand their lives, telling us their biographies and the marks of God that showed up in their lives. It's the people we honor day by day, people who have been lights to the world in their generations and in ours. Get to know some of them. They're good people. Good folks to know. They come from lots of different times and places. They're real people with their own flaws and foibles. Some of them are really colorful characters, but they show us redemption happening. They show us a little slice of God's victory at work, the victory that Jesus won out there in the desert and on the cross. You want to see a little bit of the kingdom? Here's another place to look. Try this. First pray, then go out your door and walk or pick up your phone and get in touch with someone you have hurt and tell them you're sorry. Now, you don't have to buy them flowers or throw yourselves at their feet. You don't really even have to listen to what they say back to you, though you can if you want to. All you need to do is say, "What I did hurt you, and I'm sorry." That's your part. That's what you can control. That's what you can do. And that, as small as it seems, that's one of the pieces that God uses for His victory. That's what the beginning of restoration and redemption look like, and you can see it. One last thing to try. Look around this church. Don't worry too much about who all these people are. Just marvel at the fact that they're all here. Marvel at the fact that we've chosen to take time out to stop here and remember together who's in charge. To remember together that we're all under God's judgment. To remember together that you and I, we all rely totally on Jesus' grace. To remember together that you've received love and forgiveness, just like I have. To remember together we're good, we're broken, we're being restored. Look around this church. Three little signs of Christ's victory. the lives of the saints, moments of reconciliation, acknowledging one another in Christian community, little signs of Christ's victory, and they're all around us. These aren't the only ones, but they're a good start. This Lent, look for more. The world and humanity are good. The world and humanity are broken. The world and humanity are being restored. This Lent, spend some time looking for the restoration. In Jesus' name, amen.